The reading this morning is from Romans chapter 8, the first 11 verses, and I'm reading from the Message. The solution is life on God's terms. With the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with a problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up as being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to existing in it real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing. God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcomed him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely he did in Jesus, you are delivered from the dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ's.
Had a great time at Heather and Ben's wedding yesterday. They had a wonderful day. The sun shone on them, and they had a really smashing time. I did say to Marcia that she could have got home by about 5 o'clock this morning, and why wasn't she coming to church? But my words, I'm afraid, were not heeded. A newspaper reporter went into a prison and was asking the prisoners about what they did. And understanding that they were allowed to watch daytime television in the morning, but not the evening. So the reporter thought that was pretty sad, and said, "It's a shame that you can't watch television in the evening. Is that because it's a punishment?" And no, he said, "The fact that we watch daytime television is the punishment." Don't suppose we've got any criminals here. We've got one or two dodgy lawbreakers. I know this because when I confessed about my speeding crime, a few came out of the woodwork and empathised with me. But generally speaking, I think it's fairly true to say that none of us are heading for prison this week. Romans 8 is very much about answering the question, are we really free? For many of us, that's an irrelevant question if we think in terms of security, if we think in terms of our physical being, because in this country we're relatively safe. But the question that Paul's grappling with is not the physical freedom, but the spiritual freedom. For some, that freedom means something quite different from our own culture. Because sadly, whilst we might give a passing thought on Remembrance Sunday to the fact that because of the sacrifice of people who went before us, we can maintain that physical independence and freedom. But for other people in our world today, of course, that is a completely different and an alien story. Those who would tell the story of the slavery in the sweatshops. Those, and we see these images so regularly now, those caught up in human trafficking and prostitution. The prisoners of conscience. The subjugated females right across our globe, even including our own country. So let's not get smart about that. We still denigrate females in some way. We still imprison some people because of the colour of their skin. And that may be a physical prison, but quite often it's a psychological prison that we're putting other people into. In the same way, we're creating a kind of prison by the way that we deal with disabled people. We are, I'm pretty sure, one of the world's leaders. And yet there is still so much more that we could do to avoid disabled people feeling as if they're prisoners. I just pray that we really value our physical freedom and every aspect that is. But I also encourage you to keep in prayer regularly for those people for whom freedom is not just a side issue, but for them it's a fundamental issue. Three things that I've taken from Romans 8. Snappy to remember. Paul was talking about what we're freed from, what we're freed to, and what we're freed for. What does Paul say that the Spirit frees us from? In verses 1 to 7, he uses several expressions. In verses 1 and 2, he speaks of being set free from condemnation and the law of sin and death. The big point here, of course, is that the law could never set people free. Only relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. That is why Alpha is such a marvellous thing. It's a relationship thing. The whole setup, the fellowship of those who take part. And that teaching and that desire to get into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5, he speaks of being of the Spirit setting him free from natural or human desires. He speaks of that kind of mindset where the fixation is on about the here and the now. It's about the physical, with little regard to the Spirit. And then in verse 7, he speaks of the Spirit setting people free from hostility to God. And this refers to that conflict that goes on between our own innermost human desires and the way of the Spirit. Sue read for us the Message version. We're so well connected that I would have told her not to read from the Message. because some of the language of the message actually, I think, slightly misses the point. In the NIV, for example, we have words like condemnation, but what Sue read from the message was a low-lying black cloud. When Paul, in the more authorized version, talks about the law of sin and death, Eugene Peterson in the message talks about the fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. And instead of hostility to God, he puts, ignores God. Some of those meanings have been not just paraphrased, but I think actually just twisted a little bit too far. But the key thing is that we speak in a language that people can understand. And that's what Sue was doing when she chose the message. Because it is kind of heavily theologically based. And so Sue was trying to bring in a language that would make it more palatable. Biblical illiteracy is still something that is causing great problems in the West, despite organisations like the Gideons, CWRs, Scripture Union. There is still a high degree of biblical illiteracy in the West today. So those who have been on the Alpha course, I just encourage you to keep digging in and looking at the Word of God, looking at the Scripture. In Colossians 3, in Colossians 3, Paul sets out in more helpful and readily accessible language the rules for holy living. He talks about things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. These are the kind of things that the Spirit needs to free us from. I'm going to skip through a little bit here because of the time. Let's move on to freedom from to freedom to. The freedom from bit is, in some ways, it can be seen as something that's negative. These are all the bad things that we've got to avoid. But Paul is also anxious to say, but these are the things that we need to concentrate on. This is what we need to be freed to do. Paul spells out a little bit of this. In verse 5, he talks about enjoying the Spirit's desires, when our spirits naturally link with the Spirit of Jesus. In verse 6, he talks about life and peace, resulting in wholesome relationships with God, and giving us that deeper contentment that can only come through the Spirit. And then in verse 10, he talks about spirits that are alive because of the indwelling Christ. I was thinking about this, I was obviously thinking about this week, but particularly this aspect of the indwelling Christ within us. And I think sometimes we haven't quite got to grips with all that means. We probably distill it down to saying that God is with us. And that's kind of the level that we think about it. But if we really understand that it is the Spirit of Jesus within us, then actually what we have in us is something of the creative power of God. It's part of the Pentecost Spirit. You know, Jesus didn't sort of just stop. The Holy Spirit didn't just stop after Pentecost. It's part of that Pentecost Spirit that has to abide with us if God is within us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that drives people, drives organizations, drives church movements. So it's not only the fact of, isn't it great that we can rely on God, that God is with us?
Because what we're really talking about is something that is much more dynamic than that, much more powerful than that, something that's much more creative than that. And that is the spirit that we need to relate to, that we might be to as Jesus to other people. And then the last bit is freedom for. And verse 11 really tells us what are we freed for. And verse 11 says, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you." The Spirit sets us free in the here and now, and ultimately we are set free for resurrection. Resurrection through conversion, baptism, regeneration, born again, whatever is the language that you want to lead. And ultimately it takes us to that point where at the end of Romans 8, and those wonderful verses at the end of Romans 8, that Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Spirit that frees us from our own earthly nature, our own earthly desires. The Spirit that frees us to enjoy all that God has given and to enjoy his purposes. And then ultimately, he frees us for resurrection. May we live lives that are worthy of his calling, worthy of his promises. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for all that you are doing in us, through us, around us. We just rejoice with those of our friends this morning who have been able to share with us about the Alpha program. We just thank you for the many, many thousands of Alpha programs that have gone on. But for this one, Lord, in this place, we just thank you that you've used that vehicle in a mighty way. And I pray, Lord, for freedom. I pray for freedom for ourselves. Too often, Lord, we think it's other people that need to be set free. And yet there are times, maybe it's something to do with our time allocation. Maybe it's something to do with the hurt or even a prejudice that is within. Lord God, if there's anything in our lives, would you please just draw closer to us that we with you might eke out anything that imprisons us. And if any of us have a tendency to any form of addiction, whether it's an addiction to watching television, to taking drugs, Lord, I just pray that you would work with us. I pray too, Lord, that we would recognize your spirit within, not as something that's there when we feel like calling upon it, but something that is there to direct the whole of our lives. Something that is ready to explode at that time and at that right time and that right moment with that right person. Please give us a greater passion, Lord, to actually use what you have poured into our lives, that others like those on our Alpha program might take steps closer and closer to you. And we ask these things in the loving name of Jesus. Amen.